Icon decides to do away with flaps. Liberty Aerospace will supply composite structures for the A5. And Cessna says we'll see an electric Skyhawk. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 30th, 2010. Much of the news we're seeing this year at Oshkosh is incremental advancements on existing or future projects, as the recession has pinched everyone's ability to raise money. Icon Aircraft's announcement from AirVenture this year is a decision to do away with flaps on the highly anticipated A5 light sport amphibian, to simplify things for the pilot, and to add wing cuffs as part of a commitment to pursue a spin-resistant design. Icon CEO Kirk Hawkins explains, quote, "Although these enhancements are not required by the FAA or ASTM, this is yet another example of Icon raising the bar to not only make the A5 one of the coolest sport planes on the planet, but to make it simultaneously one of the safest and easiest to fly. This is absolutely the right move for the customer and worth the extra work to get there," unquote. Among the drivers for the decisions are Icon's research, which shows that a full one-third of orders so far come from people who are not yet pilots. Icon also chose AirVenture to announce that, rather than try to reinvent the wheel, it will use two established companies to provide structural composite assemblies for the A5. They are Liberty Aerospace of Melbourne, Florida, and Hungarian tooling specialist Flytech. Icon notes that Liberty Aerospace manufactures its certificated XL2 series under an FAA-approved quality system, which will directly benefit production of the Icon A5. Flytech has been manufacturing composite aircraft tooling since 1983 and composite parts since 1996. Icon says Flytech's use of the latest generation resin impregnating technology and top-of-the-line production control systems ensure the highest quality. Hawkins explains, quote, "Partnering with established suppliers will allow Icon to not only reach production sooner, but also accelerate the production ramp to meet the impressive demand we're seeing for the A5. Icon will receive major composite structural assemblies from these suppliers and will control all system installation, final assembly, finishing, and testing prior to delivery. A5 production will be at Icon's facilities in Southern California. Add Cessna to the list of manufacturers planning to fly a proof-of-concept electric aircraft by the end of 2010. In this case, Cessna will partner with Bai Energy to produce a one-off electric 172 Skyhawk. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton commented, quote, "As we look at the landscape of alternative fuels for general aviation aircraft, the electric power plant offers significant benefits, but there are significant challenges to get there. We believe Bai Energy has gotten off to a good start in understanding those challenges and how to overcome them," unquote. Bai Energy CEO George Bai says he's honored to work with Cessna. Quote, "Cessna's support of the electric and electric hybrid program is vital to moving general aviation into the future," unquote. Up next on ANN, the new Light Business Aircraft Conference will happen on both coasts. Tempest improves on Autolite. And Barons and Bonanzas get SVT. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
The Waco YMF-5D is an open cockpit sport biplane that embodies the golden age of aviation in a new production aircraft. The evolution of the new D model Waco incorporates many new features and upgrades, delivering greater performance than ever before, but with more horsepower and lower aircraft weight. Your new Waco is completely customized to your exact specifications, including your choice of avionics. Own and live the dream yourself with the new Waco YMF-5D. Check out the dream at www.wacoclassic.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 30th. I'm Paul Plack. 2 years ago here at AirVenture, NBAA President Ed Bolin announced a new light business aircraft show to be held first in 2009, offering a venue for smaller businesses and planes all the way down to piston singles. The economic collapse in late 2008 put that idea of a separate NBAA conference on hold. Now, building on the success of previous collaborations, the show will become a joint presentation with AOPA. AOPA's Craig Fuller joined Boland to announce the Light Business Airplane Conference will be held at both the NBAA Annual Meeting and Convention in October in Atlanta and at the AOPA Aviation Summit in November in Long Beach, California. Six forums will cover topics including how to use general aviation for business purposes, tax benefits of aircraft ownership, single pilot operations and safety, getting reimbursed for flights, insurance, and moving up to a turbine aircraft. NBAA and AOPA say the majority of GA flight hours are logged in support of business, so the associations owe it to their members to help them get the most out of such an important business asset. Aero Accessories, the company behind the Tempest brand of aviation products, acquired Unison back in January and rebranded Unison's Autolite spark plugs under the Tempest name. Spark plug manufacturing has been consolidated to a Tempest facility in Gibsonville, North Carolina. And the company also says it has made some upgrades to the spark plug, adding a bright nickel plating to provide corrosion protection and a glass center seal and resistor for improved spark gap life. An additional new product from Tempest is a high-efficiency starter available for all TCM engines, said to reduce the current requirement by 20%. Hawker Beechcraft Corporation has announced that Garmin's synthetic vision technology and related avionics improvements will be included as standard equipment on its piston-engine Beechcraft Baron and Bonanza models. The company says once it receives supplemental type certificates covering both models, the upgraded offerings will be introduced on production aircraft beginning in August. This improvement will also be available as a retrofit to WAAS-equipped G1000 aircraft beginning in August through Hawker Beechcraft's factory-owned service centers. Still ahead, United leaves a 9-year-old sitting at Chicago O'Hare. An overweight teen's second seat results in a bumping on Southwest. And some closing thoughts on Oshkosh. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business. Leading the way to a new generation of aircraft, Eclipse Aerospace introduces the Total Eclipse Twin Engine Jet. The Total Eclipse is a sophisticated, high-performance aircraft with low operating costs, low environmental impact, and uncompromised safety. Every Total Eclipse jet comes with flights to 41,000 feet, max cruise speeds of 370 knots, an onboard color radar with electronic moving maps and e-charts. And, of course, every Total Eclipse comes complete with a factory warranty. Log on to eclipseaerospace.net for more information.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 30th. I'm Paul Plack. A 9-year-old boy was left sitting in an airport waiting room at O'Hare International Airport for almost 8 hours last Saturday, when representatives from United Airlines failed to board him on his continuing flight to Ottawa. Julian Reed was traveling from a visit with his father in San Francisco to his home in Ottawa, which according to the Ottawa Citizen he does about 6 times a year. He had departed at 6 a.m. and was supposed to have about a 3-hour layover in Chicago, departing about 2 p.m. local time. That flight was delayed and it was scheduled to arrive in Ottawa about 5:35 p.m. When Reed's mother went to the airport to get him, he wasn't on the plane. She then got a call from the boy on the prepaid cell phone his mom had given him. MSNBC reports that according to the Citizen, Reed, who's a vegetarian, was given only a fast food hamburger to eat. He'd been in what was described as a tiny little room cramped with kids, where the same video was reportedly playing over and over. His mom tells the Citizen she suspects her son was intentionally bumped from an oversold flight. United has reportedly apologized and plans to offer a refund of the unaccompanied minor fee that was paid for the boy to travel. The airline will also reportedly make an undisclosed gesture of goodwill. A woman flying standby on Southwest Airlines reportedly was asked to leave her seat to make room for an overweight teenager who needed 2 seats. The woman, who was asked to remain anonymous, told the Sacramento Bee that she had paid full fare for the last seat Southwest said was available on the plane. She had no sooner settled in when she was told by the cabin crew that they needed to go back to the terminal so a 14-year-old could have two seats on the plane. The woman is a frequent flyer on Southwest. She says the flight crew was rude when she protested the move. Southwest spokeswoman Marilee McInnes says officials will be apologizing. Quote, "We know this was awkward and we should have handled it better," unquote. And finally today, the end of the week means it's the last aero briefing I'll originate from EAA AirVenture Oshkosh this year. It would be great if I could summarize the event here, but with hundreds of product announcements and dozens of historically significant or otherwise poignant moments happening here this week, that's just too big for the allotted time. I am taking away a couple of big general impressions that I'll share with you. First, while the record-setting rains last week certainly compromised attendance early on this week, within a few days the lines were as long as ever. AirVenture certainly is not weatherproof, but the passion Tom Poberesny likes to talk about in connection with this event is not hyperbole. The official final attendance numbers will be interesting. Second, this electric power plant thing is for real. The battery technology that would challenge the capabilities of the internal combustion engine is still a ways off, but a number of companies are realizing that when the battery challenge is solved, it will be too late to start working out all the other details. A number of developers are talking about having the rest of the aircraft sorted out and ready so the miracle batteries of the future can be dropped in and brought to market quickly. Sikorsky brought an electric helicopter to Oshkosh this year, and a company spokesman told me that Sikorsky is thrilled so far with the return on its investment in its first air venture. The recession has given the annual product announcement ritual a different feel. Development projects ranging from the Icon A5 to the Honda Jet all seem to be grinding along slowly and settling for news releases of relatively small milestones. In Icon's case, a decision to delete flaps from the design. For Honda, an announcement that it's almost ready to have the plumbing installed in its new Greensboro plant. And finally, there are reps from major aerospace companies everywhere at this event now, and they're finding innovative ideas that excite them from small vendors and even individual aircraft builders. AirVenture's value in that way has taken more than a half century to build, and I can't imagine how you'd ever make it happen again from scratch. This event is an amazing institution, and they're still finding ways to grow it. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I get to talk with Eric Lindberg about LEAP, the Lindberg Electric Aircraft Prize. From Oshkosh, I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.